Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Here we go. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Welcome to Catholic Sports View. I am Bob Gibson, and we thank you for tuning in again this week here on Relevant Radio. I'm battling a little bit of a cold, so bear with me, and we'll get through this interview today because it's a very special one, and I'm really excited to have our guest on this week. Chris Ricks, Trinity League legend, Santa Margarita High School legend, and went on to, of course, play football at Florida State University for 4 years, and is now a coach and a TV commentator and one of the best in the business, and we're excited to have him on the program. Chris, thanks for taking a couple minutes and joining us.
Oh, Bob, I love the show, and it is great to be on with you.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks so much. You know, we kind of want to go back over your career, talk about your playing days, and we also want to talk about what's going on now. Let's kind of start out with some of the things you're doing. The football season has just wrapped up, the high school football season, and it was kind of a crazy one, but a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Maybe it didn't end the way everybody thought it was going to end at the end, but so many great stories, and it's like that every year, right?
It is. And just to see the length of the seasons now, it's amazing. So different than when I was in high school and graduating in 2000. Can't believe it's been nearly 20 years. But just to see the schedules, the length of it, it's almost like NFL-type seasons when you have the week zeros and playoffs, regional bowl games, state championship games. But, you know, on one end, it's a lot for some players and for high school players. But for a lot of them, you know, this will be the last level of football. Most of them will not play college ball. So to see the length of it, you know, I view it as more of a positive because it's more football for these young men to play. And then speaking of schedules, just the toughness of the schedule, the strength of schedule. You know, you have teams like Modern Day going out of state, teams coming in from different states, from the East Coast to play, and to see these teams really playing national schedules, that's why you have teams like Modern Day, St. John Bosco, competing for national championships. So it's really special to watch.
Yeah, do you like that? I mean, 20 years ago, you know, when you were playing high school ball, I don't know if you ever played a team maybe from out of state. We see that all the time now, especially at the D1 level, especially in the Trinity League.
Yeah, we went out of state one game my junior year at Bishop Amat.
Okay.
Before I transferred to Santa Margarita, we went and played Naperville Central in Illinois, which had won the state title beforehand. They were the top team in Illinois, and we were able to go out there and beat them convincingly and represent California and the West Coast. And it was a special trip. You know, after the game, the team went to a Notre Dame game the next day, and, you know, memories that we'll have forever, especially those that players that never got to play in Notre Dame Stadium like I had the privilege of doing, going to a Notre Dame game, having those memories with your teammates. So when you see teams like Modern Day go to the East Coast, St. John Bosco, some other teams that travel, you know, it's a good experience because you kind of get that college-type experience and memories that most players, again, won't have because they won't be playing college football. So some people don't like it, but if a school has the resources and they want to get that national recognition and, again, represent California, let alone have the memories for all these players going on that trip, bonding together, I like it.
Do you think kids appreciate that today, or is it still one of those things where you're too young to maybe appreciate it now? Maybe it's down the line, the opportunity that these kids have had to play in these big games and play in some special places.
Yeah, you know, first, I think the players that want to win a national championship and bring that kind of notoriety and represent California as the best high school football state, I think they really get excited about it. And then the other players, I would think that they would be, you know, getting on a plane, traveling, getting a little time off school, and having that memorable experience. I can't think of a high school athlete that wouldn't be excited about taking a trip out of state, cross country, you know, going to Washington, D.C., going to these different places, visiting, you know, national monuments and places that they haven't seen before, getting away from school. I mean, it's like a vacation. So I think it's a memorable experience. It's with your brothers, it's with your coaches, and it's just different. Not every program gets to do that. So for the players that get to experience that, I view it as a tremendous privilege and great memories.
Chris Ricks joining us, Trinity League legend, Bishop Amott to Santa Margarita High School, and now a TV commentator with Fox and a bunch of other outlets as well, and really carving yourself quite a career as a commentator, and I think one of the best out there.
Thank you, Bob.
Absolutely. When I watch you, I think when other people watch you too, they get a lot of information from you, and it really shows. When you look at what modern day St. John Bosco, what the Trinity League has become now, is this good for for high school football?
Well, I think it is because it represents Southern California, Southern Section. It represents the state. I mean, the last three years, everyone knows, if you didn't know, if you're national and you watch high school football and you follow it, you know who Modern Day is. You know who St. John Bosco is. There's no denying it. You have Modern Day who wins the Southern California, Southern Section, who wins the state, and then wins back-to-back national championships, which it's hard to win one. We know that. When there's no true national championship game and you're taking the rankings, the strength of schedule, for them to win it the past 2 years, St. John Bosco, who wins Southern Section and state this year, I believe they'll be crowned national champions. I mean, they had the last three national champions from Southern California and from the same league.
Yeah.
I mean, it just speaks to the power of it. And, of course, if you're other teams in the league, and if you're fans of other schools and followers, listen, this is the world we live in. You're not going to be able to please everyone. There's always going to be critics. There's always going to be people complaining. And listen, I'm a Santa Margarita guy. You know, that's where I graduated from. You know, it was a tough year for them this year. You know, new coach, and, you know, you're at the bottom right now looking up at everyone else. But if you follow high school football and you watch these teams play, it's really amazing to see all the teams play in the Trinity League. And listen, you got to give credit to these programs that are at the top. Number one, they invest in their program. They invest in their players. And it's not just resources. It's not just money. It's time. I mean, these coaches put in so much time. They run their programs like a college level. You see it, Bob. It's not them just showing up and, guys, do whatever you want. Don't worry about the game plan. It's just talent. Talent will win. These coaches don't have that mindset. They put so much time into film study, into game planning, preparation. These coaches are meeting 7 days a week. It's like a full-time job to prepare these boys really to dominate. So for anyone that thinks, oh, just Modern Day and Bosco, they just have all the talent. They don't coach these guys up. Listen, we know Orange Lutheran has talent. You know Servite has talent. They nearly beat St. John Bosco this year. If it wasn't for a couple plays in the special team and kicks, they would have beat the section and state champions in Bosco. Santa Margarita, the resources they have, the coaches they have. You know, all these coaches at these different programs are putting in the time, the effort, and the resources, and there can only be one champion. So I credit all of these coaches, whether it's in the Trinity League, whether it's outside at a small public school. These coaches and players put in the time, and it's not just people showing up and hoping they do well. The way they prepare, the way they invest in academics, athletics, preparation, training these players, preparing them for life, I think it's amazing. It's so different than it was 20 years ago, and we're seeing the results on the field with such high-level football and these players so much more advanced.
No, you're so right. It's really something to see. I always tell people, I say, hey, don't forget, the last place team in the Trinity League would win any other league in Southern California. I mean, that's how good the level of football is. And that's no joke, right? I mean, you think, oh my gosh, a 0-4, 1-4 team or whatever in the Trinity League, that's not so good. No, that's a team that would win any other league.
That's a great point, Bob, because again, they're playing some of the best teams in Southern California, in the state, and in the country every single week. I mean, there's no bye week in the Trinity League like every other league where you have at least a couple opponents where, listen, you're going to look towards the next week. You're going to start preparing for the next team because you can almost ensure a victory. You cannot do that in the Trinity League. It's preparation to the max every single week with the teams that are in that league.
We've seen so many great quarterbacks come through the Orange County area. Obviously, you were one of them back in 2000 when you graduated. You got to Santa Margarita. Carson Palmer had already just come through there as well. Uh-huh. And we've seen Carson went on to win a Heisman. Matt Leinart, for Modern Day, went on to win a Heisman. We've seen so many great QBs. But this was really the year of the quarterback in the Trinity, right? Not only did we have those two great seniors at Mater Dei and Bryce Young and St. John Bosco and DJ Uiagalelei. I got used to saying the name so many times.
That's it. You got it.
I got it, right?
You got it. Most people can't get it. You got it, Bob.
I worked on it. I hate mispronouncing names. That's one of my pet peeves, so I always want to get those right. Noah Fifita, the young man at Servite, who I think is going to come on and become that maybe that next great Trinity League quarterback. The level of quarterback play in this league, how much better is it than maybe what you see in other leagues and maybe what you saw as you were coming through in your prep days?
Yeah, I think it's really towards the top. You mentioned Noah Fifita from Servite. Got to see him a couple times this year. You know, he was amazing and not the biggest, not the tallest quarterback, but just so athletic, so accurate, great release. And then this year, seeing not only the top two quarterbacks in the league, not only the top two quarterbacks in the Southern Section, not even the top two quarterbacks in the state, but the top two quarterbacks in the entire country.
Yeah.
And DJ Uiagalelei from Bosco, number one pro style, Bryce Young from Mater Dei, number one dual threat. You know, it was just such a treat to see. And, you know, there's a lot of people probably took it for granted because who knows if we'll see it again. The top two quarterbacks in the country, not only who they are as players, but as leaders, as young men, how respected they are by their teammates, by their coaches, their humility, and just really what they represented this year, how they represented their teams, how they represented their programs, put the teams on their back, what Bryce did the past couple of years, what he did this season. I mean, just being moments away from back-to-back national championships as a starting quarterback at Mater Dei. And then what Bryce did, I mean, down, I believe it was 28-5 and in the Southern Section Championship game to put Bosco on his back, five touchdowns in the second half and lead them to a victory. And it just shows how special these young men, yes, as players, they're physically talented, but how smart they are, how advanced they are in their preparation and their training, and then just the kind of leaders they are. You know, everyone in the country, again, if you didn't know Mater Dei and Bosco, you know them now. If you didn't know the names Bryce Young and DJ Uiagalelei, you know who they are now. And they're a national brand player because DJ is going to Clemson, Bryce is going to Alabama. You know, the cool thing is we may not see them play again in high school against each other, but I believe we'll see it in college, them going head-to-head again.
That's what's fun about it, yeah. I'm really looking forward to seeing their college careers progress, and then who knows? That top 1% gets a chance maybe to play professionally, and these are two kids that are certainly talented enough that they could make that dream come true, I'm sure, down the line as well.
Yeah, you know, and the future will tell if DJ goes football or if he goes baseball.
Oh, you're right.
He's
yep.
such a big baseball recruit, great arm, great pitcher. I believe he's thrown in the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just so physically talented and so smart. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, following in his footsteps, kind of like the Kyler Murray and different players that have been able to play both, what path he will go. But it'll be fun to follow him.
Yeah, we've seen those players over the years that have that choice and are that athletically talented. That's for sure. You bring up the CIF championship game. Was it more surprising to see Mater Dei lose that lead and have Bosco come back like that and make that big second half comeback? Or is it more testament to what Bosco did? In my mind, it's a little bit of both. It was surprising to see Mater Dei kind of slip up like that and get handled that way. We hadn't seen anybody do that in a couple of years against them. But boy, you can't discount all the talent that Bosco had and what they were able to do in the second half of that game.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bob. You know, on the first end, I thought it was going to be a runaway. At first, you see Mater Dei just scoring at will. They're up, you know, 28-5, and you're thinking, gosh, Mater Dei might run away with this thing. It probably isn't going to be a running clock, but they were just dominating the game so much. They had all the momentum. They were flying around. And then all of a sudden, you know, Bosco just starts making plays. DJ starts getting in a rhythm passing-wise. The defense starts forcing turnovers. And it just all that momentum went from the Mater Dei sideline to the St. John Bosco sideline. I was right there on the field. And you could see it so clearly, all the energy and really that momentum switching sidelines. So, yes, you know, maybe it was, you know, just as a former player and a coach and now an analyst, I think it was partly Mater Dei. Maybe these high school players, again, as well advanced they are and smart they are and dominant they are, they're still high school student athletes. Maybe they got a little comfortable and started smelling that ring a little bit too early. And on the other end, you know, Bosco earned it too. It wasn't just Mater Dei giving it away and they're just letting up. Now, Bosco, they fought. They fought back. And they remembered that game midseason where they lost in their home stadium. You know, talking to DJ after the game, he really challenged his boys and said, "We're not leaving without a win." And he willed them to victory. You saw how he played, and then everyone else just rose to his level, not just on the offensive side, but the defense. He was motivating the defense, getting them fired up, and they started stripping the ball. They were bringing hard hits. Getting the ball out of a modern-day player is not easy. They're so good in ball security, tucking it, protecting the football. But Bosco just started hitting it so hard. They started ripping the ball out, even making plays on the defensive line. Nathan Burrell had a tip, an interception on Bryce Young at the defensive line position. So it just seemed like that it was a night of destiny and a season of destiny for Bosco to come back, because I think you could probably agree, we have never seen someone who's been down like that to modern day fight back and beat them the way they did. So part of it is modern day not executing, not protecting the football, not getting the stops they needed. But on the other end, you know, Bosco just, they earned it. Defensively, getting the ball back for their offense, getting the stops, and then I've never seen a quarterback, I think, take over a game against such a quality opponent.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing if Bosco was playing a non-league opponent or even someone at maybe the bottom of the training league that year, and they're just so much more talented. But we know the talent that Bosco has is just as good as modern day. The talent modern day has just as good as Bosco. They were playing an equal opponent. And to see the way they executed, the way they fought back, and the way they finished that game, it was amazing. Anyone who saw it in person or on TV could not believe what was happening after modern day had such a huge lead. So you have to give Coach Negro, his staff, St. John Bosco, a ton of credit for not giving up, where if you have a mindset of a high school player, it's very easy to tank and kind of mail it in at that point when they were down so big.
Yeah, it really was a special night and a lot of fun. One of those games everyone's going to be talking about that watched it years from now. We're going to take a little quick break right now. When we come back, we're visiting with Chris Ricks, and we'll talk more about his prep career when we come back. You're listening to Catholic Sports View right here on Relevant Radio. Stay with us. Catholic Sports View. We welcome back our very special guest, Chris Ricks, joining us this week, and we're talking to Coach Ricks. You're at Coach Ricks. Do you like that title, being a coach? Did you ever think you'd be thought of as a coach? Was that something that, as you were growing up, you thought, hey, someday maybe I'd like to coach?
You know, to be honest, Bob, no. No, I wasn't the biggest, student of the game in high school or even college. You know, never really saw myself as a coach, but it was something I was called into after I finished my time with the San Diego Chargers, you know, starting working with quarterbacks and teaching them what I learned through my high school and college and brief pro career, not just what to do, but what not to do and to avoid, you know, certain things and to study the game more and to, you know, how to be a leader, just things I learned from the School of Hard Knocks. Again, throwing touchdowns, but also throwing interceptions, having victories, and also having challenges. So really was called into it, not just as a football coach, but as a life coach and as a mentor. And I believe the title of coach is one of the biggest badges of honor that you can wear. It's a serious responsibility because of the influence you have. And Billy Graham once said that a coach will influence more lives in 1 year than most people will in an entire lifetime. So anyone that has that title, again, it's a big responsibility. It's a very important, and really, it's an honor.
Yeah, that's so true. You're right. What a coach can do to impact the lives of young men and young women that play sports. Obviously, you had an interesting route throughout your high school career. To Bishop Amott, ending up your senior season at Santa Margarita. You had a chance to speak to the football players at the CIF Southern Section football banquet a couple weeks back. And boy, I said at the time, I put it out on Twitter. I said, best speech I've heard. I've covered a lot of those luncheons, and it was the best speech I had ever heard given there. It really was heartfelt, and I think the message really got through to the kids that there's going to be times in your life when you're going to have to overcome some adversity, and you shared some of your things that you've had to overcome in your life to get to where you're at. But it really shows the resilience if you're willing to work hard and take some responsibility and do the right things in life, right?
Yes. Thank you, Bob, for that encouragement and for your kind words. And, you know, what I find in this day and age is everyone's focusing on the highlights, you know, whether it's your huddle highlight that you post on your social media, whether it's all your other posts on social media, everyone wants to focus just on the highlights. And that's great. But as we know, everyone goes through tough times. Everyone goes through adversity, even things that no one knows about, just you. you know, I felt sharing at that luncheon was a tremendous honor and a privilege for Tom Simmons, the assistant commissioner of the CIF Southern Section, and Rob Weigott, the commissioner, to ask me to share. And I took that responsibility seriously. And I figured, hey, what are these young men going to get the most out of? Me just sharing about touchdowns and highlights and a rah-rah, or being real with them? And I thought, you know what would I have needed to hear in their shoes championship week? So just wanted to be upfront and honest and real with them. And yes, it wasn't always touchdowns and victories. You know, I went to Bishop Mont High School, was there for 3 years. Right after my junior football season, I was continuing to take shortcuts in the classroom. You know, I was so focused on football, baseball, basketball. I was playing three sports as a varsity athlete, which is great, and I know a lot of people do it. But for me, that became just my primary focus. And I went from a 4.0 student to barely being eligible, and thus not taking care of my work. And what did that lead to? I ended up cheating in the classroom and having other people do my work for me, and people who wanted to, you know, be friends with a high-profile athlete. And I let that kind of fame get to my head. And because I didn't humble myself, Bob, I was humbled and really was humiliated when the principal of school really had to make an example out of me, and I had to withdraw from the school. It didn't go on my record as an expulsion, and I think they knew, you know, I had a good heart, but I was a young man who needed to learn a lesson. So I had to withdraw from Bishop Mont High School, and I look at it now. The truth is I was essentially kicked out of the school, and, you know, we had done our research at some schools, actually looked at modern day, but they had a pretty good quarterback there named Matt Leinart, and so they were set at the quarterback position. Carson Palmer just left Santa Margarita, went and met with Coach Hartigan there. And you know, it was a great program, great school on the rise, and a special place. And as hard as it was to leave Bishop Mont, it was a blessing to spend a year at Santa Margarita, being able to be around that program and the family there. It's a very special school. You know, again, it was a young man that needed to learn a lesson. And, you know, I'm grateful I did, because, you know, sometimes you have to go through those tough times. And for young athletes listening to the show, some things you're going to have to go through and experience, but other things you can also learn from someone else's example. Those are really the top two ways you're going to learn in life, either from your own experience or someone else's example. So my message to athletes now would be to humble yourself so that you don't have to be humbled, and take care of your responsibilities. You're not going to be perfect, but be accountable, be responsible. And if you do that, you know, sometimes you won't have to go through those hard times in adversity.
Yeah.
But for any athlete that does, whether it's on the field, in the classroom, or in life, as you heard me share at that luncheon, everyone gets knocked down, but only champions get back up. And if you want to be a champion, you got to pick yourself up when you get knocked down, keep on fighting, and to realize that your best days are still ahead, as I was able to experience at Florida State and briefly in the NFL.
And I give you a lot of credit for that, because it's not everybody that would want to share that story of, you know, truthfully like that, and talk about maybe one of the lowest parts of their life, you know, or you're sort of at a crossroads. But you mentioned you end up at Santa Margarita. You mentioned Jim Hartigan, the head coach there. And boy, to look at a picture of Coach Hartigan and that chiseled jaw and everything and that steely look, that's kind of how he is. But as you get to know Coach Hartigan, you get to know the other side of coaching. He's a hard-edged guy, no doubt about that, on the football field. But he's also got a kindness to him as well. Was that the kind of guy you needed maybe at that point, that kind of coach at that point in your life?
I think so. You know, someone to challenge me, someone who loved the game and loved his players, and because of that love would challenge them. And he forced me to be better, not just on the field, but off the field. And, you know, I've learned with coaches, the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. And all coaches are going to be different in their approach and their personality. But if they have a right heart, then they can impact players. I had a coach that did that at Florida State in Bobby Bowden. My son is named after him because of the impact he had on my life. And again, just showing the influence of a coach. So to be able to play for Coach Hartigan for a year, playing quarterback, also playing some receiver, I separated my shoulder when we played Bishop Mont actually midway through the season. It was an intense matchup. We were able to actually beat Bishop Mont in that game. But I tried to run over a cornerback instead of sliding or getting out of bounds, separated my shoulder. And the second half of my senior year was a challenge because I couldn't really throw the football. And even when we played modern day, I was very ineffective because of an injury primarily, let alone how good Matt Leinart and Matt Grudegood and modern day was in that 1999 season. So I played some receiver, got to experience that, and contribute to the team before I finished up at Santa Margarita and went on to Florida State to play quarterback. So to play for Coach Hartigan and be a part of that Santa Margarita family, I learned a lot and most importantly, met some great people.
I know faith is a big part of your life, and obviously now as a husband and a father, and you're raising your family now and doing so many great things in the community. How much were you able to rely on your faith at those times in your life, and how much has that meant to you now as you've gone through and become all these other things that you've grown through life?
Well, it's hard to get through life with faith, I've learned. I don't know how people do it without it, Bob. And again, through challenges, through adversity. I lost my mother when I was 7 years old to cancer. I've had, different challenges just family-wise, just living with my father and moving around from New York to Seattle to Southern California for his job. And growing up, we went to church at times, but it wasn't every weekend. I was more of a CEO Christian, a CEO Catholic, Christmas and Easter only.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to be more consistent in that in high school and then in college, I just realized that I needed that. I needed it to be grounded, that when I had the influence of Coach Bowden in my life and him just sharing how important faith was to him, again, the influence of a coach, it really translated to me. And that's really where I got serious. It was my freshman year of college, and I went on a Kairos retreat my senior year at Santa Margarita. That was very impactful, planted some big seeds in my faith. And then when I got to Florida State, kind of got away from home and needed to rely on something than just friends and football around me. That's really where I engaged my faith and started going to church on a weekly basis, started connecting really with Coach Bowden and Coach Mark Rick, the one who recruited me, saw what men of faith they were, and saw how their life was just different. And that was part of my growing up process in a really becoming not just a man, but having a heart to be a man of God.
I know you never hesitate to talk about what an important person Bobby Bowden has been in your life. Of course, we know him as the legendary coach, all-time winningest coach in college football, the legend of Florida State. But do you feel like in some ways God kind of led you to Florida State and that was where you needed to be to meet Coach Bowden, to spend those 4 years with him?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Bob. I had offers to go to USC, to go do UCLA, and that's where I thought I was going to go. But there was word of USC that Paul Hackett was on the hot seat. Again, this was before Pete Carroll got there.
Mm-hmm.
And then even Bob Toledo at UCLA was on the hot seat as well. And if I would have gone to either one of those programs, I would have played for different coaches. It wouldn't have been the coaches that recruited me. So really, the rumors were true that they were both on the hot seat and they probably wouldn't be there for the next few years. Meanwhile, Florida State was number one in the country. They won the national championship my senior year in 1999 when they beat Virginia Tech. And, part of me wanted to go out of state and get outside of some of my surroundings. I do believe it was God's plan taking me to Florida State, not just to play football, but again, to get away where I had to grow up on my own. I wasn't going to be relying on friends and family and my girlfriend and all the comfortable surroundings that I had back home. It really forced me to grow up and to be under a coach, not just who's successful on the field, as they were just winning the national championship, but who Coach Bowden was as a man of faith, the heart he had. It was such a privilege to play for him, and he introduced me to something called FCA, and it was called the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Yeah.
And I'd never heard of it, but it was a sports club on campus for the athletes. They brought in guys like Deion Sanders would come talk about his faith, former players, greats who I looked up to as players, but now to hear who they were as husbands, as fathers, as men, it really I really connected with it, and it gave me a goal. Not just as a football player, as an athlete, but as a man and as a man of faith. And we know whether you're in high school, whether you're in college, you're so impressionable, especially when you're around people, coaches and athletes that you look up to. It made a big impact on my life. And I'll always be grateful for Coach Bowden for sharing his faith with me, for encouraging me in my faith and challenging in my faith to grow. And again, a big reason why my son Bobby is named after him, because of the huge impact he's had in my life.
Obviously, you're doing clinics now. You're coaching. You're a broadcaster. We see your great work as I mentioned on Fox Sports. Ever thought of wanting to take over a program? Maybe be a head coach somewhere. Do something like that.
To be honest with you, Bob, to be candid, I'm very fortunate and privileged to be offered those opportunities really on an annual basis. I've turned down some great coaching opportunities. but for me, I feel it's a calling. I feel coaching, as I mentioned early in our interview, that it is a calling. you know, I don't feel called to be a high school head coach in this season. You know, number one, I coach my sons on the weekends, my two boys as their football coach, and then I get to do the broadcast on Friday nights. Obviously, you can't be in two places at once.
Right.
I love being able to cover a lot of different football programs and continuing my career as an analyst. And, you know, really another reason is so much time that it takes to be any high school coach, whether you're a head coach or an assistant. I mentioned it earlier on that it is a full-time job for these coaches. Most of these programs, especially the ones that are competitive, are meeting as coaches 7 days a week. Most of those days, even on Sunday, you know, they are meeting in the morning and in the afternoon, watching film, game, you know, reviewing the previous game, game planning. You know, for people that maybe haven't been inside the coaching profession, now, I've been able to be an assistant coach at Bishop Amott, at South Hills High School, at Bonita High School, and be a consultant for other programs. Basically, what they do is on Saturday, they review the game from Friday. They fix everything. They meet with the players. And then on Sunday, they meet just as a staff to game plan for that next week, for the next week's game. So you're reviewing one game one day. The next day, you're spending most of your time and most of that day game planning for the next week. So it is a huge time commitment. And while I respect the coaches that do that, I have a lot of respect for coaches that accept that calling and choose to coach high school football. But in this day and age, I don't envy them. Number one, because of all the time it demands to be competitive, and also all the things that high school coaches have to put up with. And if a high school coach is listening to this show, and I know a lot of them do, they know what I'm talking about. It's dealing with the parents. It's the fundraising. It's the politics. It is less coaching than it was 15, 20 years ago, and it's more administrative and dealing with all the other things. Again, the parent issues, the player issues. You got to fundraise for your program. You have to do this. You have to do that, let alone on top of your teaching job for those that teach on campus. It is a lot of time. It is a big sacrifice. And, again, I respect the coaches that answer that call. But to answer your question, I just don't feel called to that position.
Yeah.
Right now my focus is time with my family, focus is with my kids, and then still contributing to covering high school football on Friday nights. But thankfully I'm home that Friday night. I'm able to coach my kids and be with my family on the weekend.
Yeah, the most important thing of all, right? You know, we know you're a busy guy, and I know all the work you're doing is very important, and we appreciate your time. God bless you, and continue to go on and do great things to help other people, because I know that's something you're doing right now, and it's a big thing, and I think it's really making a difference in the community. Thanks for taking a couple of minutes and sharing your story and joining us here on the show.
Well, Bob, thank you for all that you and your staff do with the show and with covering high school sports, helping showcase student athletes and programs. Love the show, and it's an honor to be on. Thank you for having me as a guest today, and looking forward for us to covering more sports together, partner.
Absolutely. You know that for sure. Another basketball season upon us, and then another football season right around the corner as well. That's Chris Ricks. Catch him on Twitter, and he's a great follow. If you're on Twitter, you got to follow him, at Coach Ricks. And that'll wrap up the show for this week. Thanks for joining us this week on Catholic Sports U. I am Bob Gibson, and we'll see you next week right here on Relevant Radio. Have a good weekend.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Spread the word about our broadcast, and we'll catch up with you again next week at this same time on Relevant Radio.